So what we'd like to do here in our session together, I will cover a lot of territory, and hopefully you won't have to take a lot of notes, because I have quite a few handouts over here that I'll give you after we get through. And a lot of the charts and things that I'll be talking about like this are on the handouts. So I have several pages. So you won't have to work so hard. Is that all right?
Okay.
You don't mind that, do you? Okay. But I don't want to give them to you ahead of time. If I give them to you ahead of time, then I won't have anything to say. Right. So why don't we open in prayer, and then we'll get started. Our Father, we recognize that it's only the Holy Spirit that teaches us spiritual truth. So we would pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. And Lord, we do believe that you have people, individuals on your heart, and we know that as we are obedient to your commands, that we too will want to be involved in helping individuals grow and mature into Christ. And so this cause we commit our time today in Christ's name. Amen. What I'd like to do, first of all, I'm glad to be with a group that don't speak with an accent. It's good to be back home.
Sure is.
Right.
One
foreigner up here?
Texas.
Texas?
Oh, excuse me.
Who's a Texan? Who's a Texan in there? Are you really? You know what they tell me? Now, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I heard. That every time that an Oklahoman moves to Texas, the IQ of both states elevate. You have to think about that one a little. You heard what the Oklahoma people teach their children, don't you, when they first learn to pray? God is good, God is great, all across the Sooner State.
You know,
that's the promised land.
You know why California has earthquakes and Oklahoma has Okies?
Tell us.
California got first choice.
Oh, terrible. Okay, maybe we better get on, huh? Okay, what we'll try to cover now, first of all, the objectives of man-to-man, and maybe a better term for that would be one-on-one. Since the movements and everything get away from the idea of a man or a woman, man-to-man or whatever, it's one-on-one, actually. It's one person sharing with another. And then how we move into a man-to-man relationship with a person, and then also the types of man-to-man that they are. And I think this will be maybe a revolution to some of you. And what kind of a man to work with, and some of the how-tos of working with individuals, and then maybe some miscellaneous helps or something, or some of the problem areas that you face in working with individuals. And we probably won't get that far, but what we'll do, we'll go as far as we can. And what I'd like you to do, if I begin to talk too fast, or if you don't understand what I'm saying, just kind of raise your hand, because I have one objective today, is either to convince you or confuse you. Is that all right? Okay. Now, the first thing is the objective of man-to-man. And I don't believe that for time's sake that we'll be able to go into the idea of, well, why should we do it? Because I think most of you are convinced of that, or you wouldn't even be in this group in the first place. But what I'd like to do is to go into the idea of, well, what is it all about? And first of all, I think we ought to look at the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. And I believe this is where it starts. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then, lo, I am with you always, and even unto the end of the world." But it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations," the true translation. Go and as you're going, make disciples. Okay, then we believe in the Navigators that this relates also then to 2 Timothy 2:2. You start with an individual, you have Paul to Timothy, who does what? He teaches to faithful men, who's able to teach others also. So then you have a multiplication theory. So it's not just leading someone to Christ and leading them there. In other words, you want to help them to grow and to mature. Colossians 1:28 in the Philippians says, "So naturally we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet and we teach everyone we can all we know about him, so that if possible we might bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ." So obviously, we're talking about here the warning. See, we warn everyone. What's that? That's evangelism, isn't it? But then we teach everyone all we can, and that's the follow-up or the man-to-man or whatever you want to call it. And a lot of times, excuse me, the term follow-up and man-to-man could get a little bit confused because a lot of times they're kind of together anyhow. One is more of an extended time of the other, and they're both necessary. Okay? So, but the objective always is what? To reproduce or to bring that person up to his full maturity in Christ. See, that's what we're after. We want to see every man become mature in Christ or up to his own full potential. And Paul obviously believed in this principle. And he's also concerned about the worth of every individual. Jesus Christ is concerned about every individual on the face of this earth. Now look, we'll go over this quickly. The worth of an individual, the development of the value is the price was paid by the blood of Christ. That's how precious every person is to God. That Jesus Christ paid the penalty for his sin, the blood of Christ bought us. So every individual has worth in God's sight. And also when you invest in an individual, it's lasting. The person's going to live forever. So that's the only thing really that counts, isn't it? The Word of God and the souls of men. That's eternal. Everything else is temporal. So, and then also the usefulness. Every person possesses gifts. Every one of you are gifted in a very unique way by God. Therefore, the idea is to develop these gifts and bring them out so that you can fit into the body of Christ and make the greatest contribution to the Great Commission or helping other people find the Lord. Okay, then, scarcity. There are a few people that seek Christ, the things of God. So we want to help those people that are coming to Christ to be utilized. The laborers are few. The demand for laborers are great. The harvest is plenteous, and yet there are few laborers. So you're interested in that or you wouldn't be up here this week. You want to be a part of that movement. So then the potential realized is multiplication, and that's what we're after. We believe that one of the greatest ways, one of the most effective ways of helping people to develop that full potential is through spending individual time with them, helping them personally, on a personal level, like a father to a son, a mother to a daughter, that type of a relationship. Okay? Then as a result of that, also, we need to help that person develop the skills that he has, that God has given him. We also, and we do that a lot of times, in skills, we help them in personal development like Bible study, scripture memory, different tools and skills that will help him become proficient not only in his own walk with the Lord, but also in helping someone else. So we want to do that. We also want to help them in solving problems, counsel. And this takes time, doesn't it? It costs you something to spend time with another individual. Have you ever spent a lot of time with a person and you go away and later on you just, man, you're exhausted. You're just literally exhausted because it really expends a lot of your energy to deal with people on a spiritual level. It drains you, in other words. It costs you something to spend time with people. Okay, but last but certainly not least, we want to help that person to fall in love with Jesus Christ. We want him to become Christ-centered. Every man mature in Christ, but also Paul tells us in Philippians 3:10 that his desire is to become progressively more and become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Christ, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonder of his person more strongly and also more clearly. So, what we want to do is to help that person develop his potential. We want to help him in counsel, but also we want to help him in his own personal walk with the Lord, that he might become more and more in love with the person of Jesus Christ. Mature in Christ. A mature man that's independent. One who is dependent, yet independent, yet still interdependent. In other words, what we're saying is that we want people who will be needing each other. And that's the body of Christ, isn't it? It's a family, a relationship. Okay, a free man But you see mutual love evidenced in that person's life. So he's not only independent, we want him to be independent. We don't want him to be dependent on us as we work with him and help him begin to mature. One of the dangers of working with people is that we don't want them to be robots. We don't want everybody to dress like I dress, look like I, heaven forbid that, you know, that type of thing. We want people to develop, but along with that, we want to be able to help guide them into the right type of development. Now, one of the dangers that we have when we work with people, especially in this idea of man-to-man or even follow-up, is that first of all, man-to-man is just a very small part of God's... The pen's not working very well, is it? Can you read that? God's overall plan for his life. Okay? Here's the total picture here. This is the way God sees it. Here's the way we may see it. Now, this part right in here is very important. But we need to be careful all along the way in working with people is to realize that God is doing far more than we ever understand that's going on. For instance, here we have sickness, say. Okay, that's one thing that goes on that we have nothing to do with. How about a death in a family? That really affects people, doesn't it? We just got word yesterday that one of our staff members, a young lady in her 30s, had a brain tumor and died, left three little children. Well, that's going to affect that family, isn't it? It's going to affect this person's relationship in their walk. Now, it can be either a stumbling block or it can be a stepping stone. But see, God is working in people's lives through situations like that. A parent dies, or a brother or sister, or a close friend. Okay, so that's just one of the things. How about finances? Is that another one? You all are not quite old enough yet on that, but finances have a lot to do with your development in the Lord. You know, where you're trusting the Lord for things to happen and finances get tough and so on like that, it really can have a lot to do in building character and so on. And how about family relationships? This really has a bearing, people's children, how they affect them in their walk with. So all of these things are happening. So Paul says, I have not only the internal pressures that are going on in my own life, he says I have external pressures that come, and all of these things relate together in a person's walk with God. Finally, over here, where as Job says in 23:10, is that they might come forth tried as pure gold. Okay? So, we want to remember, and I can't stress this too much, when you're working with people, remember that we are not the Holy Spirit. We're just an arm or a tool to be used to help that person develop his potential. For instance, all right, then in building labors, number one, God's part is one big aspect of that, Romans 16:25 and 1 Peter 5:10. But then our part, as it brought out in Romans 1:11, is prayer. Pray for the person, love that person, and share the Word of God. And then, the person's part, it's brought out in Jude 20, is his obedience to God, the Holy Spirit, as God speaks to him through the ministry of the Word together. Okay? So the objective of all of this is qualified laborers train and conform to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. Always remember that. Okay? Now, what I like to do is moving into man-to-man, if I can get this together here right. I like to kind of give you a little picture of what we look at when we look at any type of an area. Regardless of what the area is, whether it happens to be at OU or whether it happens to be at OSU or Colorado Springs or Oklahoma City, whatever it might be, I want to go into what the area looks like and what a ministry looks like and then how it fits into this. One of the, or two of the books that I'd like you to read or to put down to read sometime, would be this Lost Art of Disciple Making. In the back of this book, it has kind of a syllabus of how you go day by day with a person and helping him. It tells you things that you can use, materials, scriptures to use with him. Like here's the topic, Satan, know your enemy. And these are topics that you would go into with a new convert or a person that's been around for a while. But this goes into quite a bit of detail about how to do that. So we won't go into that. But this is a good book, excellent. And this comes from years of experience through Leroy's personal ministry. Then, another one of our staff members that some of you may know, Walt Hendrickson, wrote this book, Disciples Are Made, Not Born. I have to read you something here in the first part of it. It says, make disciples is the mandate of the Master. We may ignore it, but we cannot evade it. All right, Christ left this legacy. And disciples are made, not born, is not a collection of dry doctrinal dust, but an eminently practical and provocative cud to chew on. Now, this is being written by Howie Hendricks. The writer constantly hits the nail with his head. Must be a misprint, huh? The writer constantly hits the nail with his head. He says he's no mere theorist, but anyhow, he's long associated with the Navigators to disciple making and so on. And this is a tremendous book on how to help other Christians. In the back it says, maybe because there's so few Christians try to disciple anyone else, are we too busy to do the most important work in the world? Or are we afraid of the personal cost to us? Or is it just that we don't understand discipling well enough to do anything about it? Read this book, then get a few disciples for yourself. So this is a very practical handbook on disciple making. Now, let's look at the area here that we're talking about. Now, what's the first thing that happens in any area, basically, in any ministry? What do you do? Well, you have a target group, then what do you do?
Try to make some converts.
Okay, you try to make some converts. So first thing you do, you witness, don't you? Okay, then as a result of the witness, what happens? Well, you have some converts, don't you? Hopefully. No, you will. Sooner or later, there will be some converts. All right, then what happens as a result of that? What do you like to see happen? Well, you like to see a little follow-up, don't you? Okay, now then, when you, here you have your witness, then you have your converts. Pardon me just a minute, let me see if I can get a better pen here. Okay, when you witness, you have converts, and then you have some follow-up. What's one of the first things that you teach one of your converts? What do you like to help him with?
Assurance.
Assurance, but also his testimony, don't you? Yeah, you know, he's eager to tell other people about the Lord. So you teach him how to witness. Okay, so then he witnesses what happens. Well, he gets some converts and some follow-up, right? So, but what happens to you in the meantime? What do you keep doing? Well, you keep witnessing, don't you? And you keep having some converts and a little more follow-up. So this system here continues to go. So this is not a static thing here. It's a mobile thing. It moves. All right? Now, let me show you just kind of what happens in looking at a whole area. All right, when you have a witness here, all along the flow here, you have converts, you have the initial basic follow-up. Can you see that all right? It's kind of fuzzy, isn't it? That better? Okay. All right, you have converts, and you have your follow-up, and then as I say here, we keep this situation going, but then along the way somewhere, you want to begin to help this person become a disciple. So you begin to minister to him here in depth. And then, as you go along here, he continues to witness. He keeps having converts and a little follow-up here. But then as you move along here, then you begin somewhere along this line to help him in his ministry, don't you? You begin to help him with ministry activities, how to lead Bible studies, how to work with another person on a personal level, how to set up conferences and different things like that. You begin to help him in a basic ministry. And he becomes proficient along here. Now, somewhere along this line, you begin to work with him man to man. You kind of evolve into it. And this person, as you look at this big group here, or as you look at people as they come along, you're always looking for that special type of person. Now, like if you were in a group and you were speaking to the group and you find someone that's kind of eager, you know, and their eyes flash and all that kind of, and they just kind of lean on everything you're saying, and you talk about discipleship, following the Lord and so on, and then they kind of follow you around a little bit, that's the kind of a person you want to latch on to. Now, what you want to do, there's a theory that you can call this. It's called the rare bird net theory. Have you ever heard of that? This scripture, I'll tell you in a minute.
Rare bird what?
Rare bird net theory. See, what you do, you take your rare bird net and you fold it up and you put it in your pocket. See, and then when you're out on these places like that, and or you're around a different group or in a Bible study or something like that, and you find this person that's really eager to go on with the Lord, then you take that little rare bird net out and you open it up and you catch him. See? That's right. Now that's found over in, let's see, where is that? I had that written down somewhere. Oh yeah, it's Isaiah 14:52. And it said every time they found a rare man like that, they captured him. So that's scriptural. You can do that. But you look for that person, and that's the type of person you want to work with. You don't have to look it up now. It's there. But you're looking for that eager person that will respond. And men, by the way, are a gift from God, aren't they? This is something you can't manufacture. So what you do, you pray, God, give me that type of a person. Give me that type of a person. And then that's Isaiah 14:52. No?
Chapter
32. Well, maybe it's 32 then. I wrote the wrong reference down. Anyhow, that's just kind of a joke.
Oh, okay.
Okay? All right. Now, what I like to do is to talk a little bit about what man-to-man actually is. A lot of times, it's a little fearful when you think about working with an individual, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What in the world do I do with a person? Okay, we sit down here, and maybe we have an hour together, and we sit down across from each other. Man, I can give him all I've got in 5 seconds, you know. Then what do we do with the rest of the time? Well, what I'd like to do is to help you a little bit, maybe see some different ways of doing man-to-man. Because I think this will help take a little of the pressure off. There's some different types of man-to-man. Now, the first one is what we call the fun and games type man-to-man. Now, fun and games, Proverbs 17:22, and I've got this in the handout for you, says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. Now, the purpose of fun and games type man-to-man would be what?
Fellowship.
Okay. What else? What's that? Right. In other words, you could
Establish a rapport.
A good rapport. Okay, so it's for identification, isn't it? You identify with that person. All right? But there's also something else that during a fun and games type man-to-man, there's observation. You know why? You go out and play volleyball with somebody, you begin to see what the person's like. Or you get him under pressure in a ping pong game. Or something like, or you play football on the field. Now that can really bring out some, you know, things like that. Or whatever you do. There, that's for observation. Then you begin to understand how this fella ticks a little bit. So, now some of the potentials of that are what? What can you do for fun and games type? What would you do with somebody?
Ping pong.
Sports? Right. Now, what else?
The opera is a great place to take somebody.
What's that?
The opera.
The opera? Okay, you said it. Country Western would be a lot better, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Invite them to your home for dinner.
Right. Good fellowship around the table, right? Around your family.
Like a letter, phone call.
Oh, you bet. Right. Hobbies? How about a hobby? Find out what the guy or the gal likes to do. You know, and then do it with them. But see, you're building identification. Okay? How about work with them?
Right.
building a bridge or something like that out in the backyard over a, something, you know. Or, you know, build a patio or anything if you're handy at doing things like that. But all of these things are a type of man to man. Now, you see, we don't think of that as man to man. What's that? Yeah, really. Yeah, that's a fun and games type because you do things together. Yeah, you do it because you're with them. Now, see, we can all do that, can't we? Now, that's not too difficult, is it? But you see, that is a very, very important type of man to man. Very important. Maybe even as important as some of the other things. Okay, then there's another type, and we call this casual type man to man. Casual type. And the purpose of the casual type is character building. In other words, you're around with someone. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, a man who takes the scriptures as his principles for living, he relates them to all the areas of his life, verbally and actually, for the instruction and guidance of his physical and spiritual children. He takes the scriptures and helps build this into that person's life. Now, what are some of the possibilities, say, of a casual type man to man? What's that? Well, yeah, that'd be more the recreation type. What I'm talking about is more the things that you just kind of share together on a casual basis. It's not structured.
It'd be maybe like having prayer together or just talking.
Pray together. Be very good. Right.
Just a rap session.
Yeah, right, and just counseling back and forth. By the way, did you know that man to man is not me teaching someone else, but it's a sharing of a life? Because basically you'll find that he'll probably teach you more than you teach him. You'll learn more from him probably than he learns from you. In attitudes.
You'll certainly learn more getting ready for him.
That's for sure. You bet. So it's really a sharing of a life. It's not a teacher-pupil. Although there is some of that in there too. Okay, but how about sharing nuggets? You know, share what you got out of the Word. Or, boy, the Lord did this for me. Or, did you know that this is what happened? Or, hey, look, man, I found a verse here that just really jumped off the page to me the other day, and I didn't realize it was there. You probably knew it all the time. Stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. See, those are casual type man-to-man. Can you do that? Huh? Sure. Are you qualified to do that right now? Sure you are. See, you've already got two types of man-to-man that you're already qualified and you didn't know it. Right? You may not have even equated that with man-to-man. But that is very, very, very important that both of these go together. Okay? Then there's the structured type of man-to-man. Now, you know what? Structured man-to-man, the purpose of structured is to build foundations. Number one, to Christ. Then also for reproduction. Relationship to Christ would be 1 Corinthians 3:10-11. And the other is 1 Thessalonians 1:5-8. Now the characteristics of structured man-to-man would be the type of materials that we help a person with. Now the type of materials that you help a person with, number one, needs to be very basic and very simple. Very basic and simple. It also needs to be something they can pass on to someone else. Then, you need to have feedback. Why do you need to have feedback?
See if they understand.
Yeah, a lot of times we take for granted that they understand what we're talking about. And it's very interesting when we ask them to, now, what do you think that meant? Sometimes it's really humiliating. Find out that we're not communicating very well. You know, it's really interesting when you do that with a brand new Christian, when you just led someone to Christ and then ask him to repeat back to you what he did. Here you had him go through the prayer and everything like that, and you went through the assurance of salvation, and then you ask him, well, now how do you know you're going to heaven? And some of the things that come back is just weird, you know. So the feedback is what is very important. Always make sure that you really know that he knows what is actually being said and that he understands it. You know, it's interesting, you can tell someone that he needs to do scripture memory, and that's fine. But why do scripture memory? See, it's not just what he should do, but why should he do it? Because a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Really. So, okay, then, the content of the structured type can be things like illustrations, going over short passages of scripture, principles from the Word of God that you've learned over the years, and also this, basically you could give him some materials. Okay, then there's another type that's called partnership, man to man. Philippians 2:25. Partnership man to man was way back over here in this other illustration that we had. That's after a person has been around for a long time and maybe even goes into the ministry with you. Some of your people down with the BSU, I think, over the years have come along through this, they've come along through this, and now they're actually in the BSU in different parts of the country, right? I think I know a fellow named Brett Yon. Brett was with us down in Florida. He was at one end and we were up in Orlando, and we used to have a lot of our ministries together. I was with the Navigators, he was with BSU. But now, Brett was a fellow that came along through here, I believe. And then, as his leadership training developed, he became a partner in ministry with Max Barnett. And then a lot of the young people that Brett was working with down in Coral Gables, Florida, he was working with them, and I saw some of those young fellas and gals come through here. And then the next thing I knew, they were up at OU, and in the ministry there. So it became a partnership, leadership type training. So this is a more advanced, and that's, we're talking about probably several years there that goes into. Okay? So, in partnership, man to man, what you do with a person, you pray with him, you're in ministry together, you're probably in Bible study together, and you probably have mutual counsel with that person. And then you do some of these other things together too, you know, like fun and games, but you do it more for recreation rather than observation. So, okay? Now, let me show you some stages of growth. And the reason I'm bringing these up is so that you might be aware of some of these different stages that they go through when you're working with people. Okay, now here, in this particular part, we call these children or babes because they're just beginning to get started in their Christian life. Disciple making are the men over here called young men. Of course, that's just a term, young people or whatever you want to call it. But anyhow, they're in the intermediate stages of growing, of which most of us are. But then over in the partnership, you have fathers and so on, all right? The characteristics of a brand new baby, he knows his sins are forgiven. And he knows the Father. And the objective is vital fellowship with the Lord and vital fellowship with other Christians. This is what you want to work on with them. And I have a handout on this, so you can have this with you. But then, as he begins to develop and grow into a disciple, he's noted because he overcomes the evil one. And the Word of God becomes strong and abides in him. He's controlled by the Word of God. He's effective in his personal ministry. And then, of course, over there here he begins companionship, a leader, and he is actually a father in every sense of the word there. Okay? Now, are there any questions up at this point?
Just a partnership that is a long-term type. It is a long-term thing.
What's that?
What kind of thing is in the dorms? You're in a relationship with somebody who becomes a Christian and everything, and you spend time together, and you grow this relationship, and you end up being partners together in having Bible studies and everything. Is that still fitting, though it's not over a number of years? You understand what I'm saying?
No, not quite.
Okay, because your Bible study becomes a Christian, you help him over a period of months and everything, and he ends up leading the Bible study, you know, over a period of about a year, and you're sitting there working with him. The same principles of partnership apply there, even though it's not over a long term.
Well, yeah, basically. Uh-huh. Yeah, when we talk about, and I made these up, a lot of this has to do a lot with the Navigator ministry. We would talk about a person in partnership ministry would be someone that would actually be, say, like an area representative or something like that, in that sense. Or someone here would go into the ministry, that particular.
Bob, can you share with us, you know, how you would relate that just to an old layman out there? You know, that's not going to go into the hands, or, you know, but he's a partner in ministry with you.
Yeah, I think it would be someone that you are together with, that you've kind of grown up in the Lord together with. You've actually experienced ministry with him. And you team up together to begin to have an effective ministry in the community that you're in.
This is really the interdependent position. The first is the dependent. The
right.
The second is the independent. And the third is the interdependent, where he is no longer totally dependent on you. He is independent, but you're still interrelated.
Right.
By those three words, these three sections. First, the babe is almost totally dependent upon you.
Correct.
The young man is independent, yet still related. And then those that are in the last are really interrelated, are interdependent on
right.
one another. He will feed you, you will feed him, he will support you, you will support him.
Right. I have a group of fellows. Did any of you know Gene Warr from Oklahoma City? You probably do, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gene, way back in my early days, and after I met the Lord, well, I was introduced to Gene, and he began to help me quite a bit. In fact, he's probably helped me as much or more than any other one individual that I've ever been around. And there were about 8 to 10 of us that back in the days of the early Billy Graham crusade there in Oklahoma City coveted to pray for one another daily. And this has been going on for about 20 years. And so we're in a partnership together. We're kind of accountable to each other. We pray for each other daily. We get together from time to time and have ministry together. And we write each other. We stay in contact with each other. When one hurts, the other hurts. And we mutually encourage one another. We're also kind of mutually accountable to each other, you know, about what we're doing. So that's kind of, to me, that would be a partnership. Even though Gene's in a ministry in Oklahoma City, Charlie Riggs is with the Billy Graham team, another fellow is Don Tabb is a pastor, another guy is a businessman down in Texas, and so on. But each one have their own specific ministries, but we're in a partnership together like that over the country. Okay? Now, what I'd like to do is to show you a little bit of how these different types of man-to-man fit in this picture that we talked about. Okay, obviously, the fun and games would be in this first stage, wouldn't it? After a person meets the Lord, you just need to have a lot of very loose fellowship with him. A lot of going out to eat pizza together or whatever. A lot of games together, like volleyball or whatever you do. Like when I work with military, we used to have a lot of military activity with sports. The guys that get together and get to know each other. And one of the reasons, and you do this a lot of times in groups. Now, why would you do it in a group with a brand new convert? Why would that be advantageous?
Make him feel more comfortable.
Why would he feel more comfortable?
He gets to know everybody better.
Yeah, he's not threatened, is he?
Yeah, he's not the focus.
Yeah, he's not the focus. And boy, that's important. You know, that you take that pressure off of him. Because can you imagine if you're sitting down with one guy and you're talking to him about principles, you know, sin in his life and so on? Boy, it scares him to death, doesn't it? Because everything you say, you're talking to him. But now I can talk in this group here to you all and say, boy, now some of you need to do this. And you can say, well, boy, that's old Joe over here. Right? And that kind of relaxes you a little. You can say, boy, the principle's right. And you may even say, well, that may be me. But if there's two of us here talking about it, see, then there's no doubt. And boy, that is frightening to a brand new Christian. So the more you can get him in little groups together where you take that pressure off of him, the more relaxed he becomes and the more susceptible then he becomes to the Spirit of God working in his life. So a lot of fun and games in here.
Bob, is that also another reason for that would be something like exposure to other Christians, you know, he realizes that you're not the only oddball around the
right.
Bible.
Right, absolutely.
He sees you in situations where you become a more attractive person. You know, we all kind of are in different positions in our Christian growth. And whereas you may be very happy of getting up early in the morning and have a quiet time all day long memorizing scripture and then going at night and witnessing, and that may very well be your life, that might not be the most attractive.
Could scare him off.
So a conscience.
Right. So you take off of that, you take off of that pressure. It could be. So again, here it is, personal relationships, and yet there's a lot of it you can do together. Go swimming together, play tennis, bowling, jogging together is a great way of doing it. If you can talk, I can barely just keep going. You know, especially in this altitude here. You have any trouble with that? Boy, when I go back to Oklahoma, I can really jog well. Yeah. I like to kill myself in Phoenix, Arizona the other day jogging because of that low level, you know, is so different from up here. I felt like I was flying, you know. So anyhow, so you have this personal relationship, the observation. He feels accepted as a person because of the group. And you lay foundations here in some of the structured. Now see, some structure goes in here. What would some of the structures be right off the bat?
Sharing verses, maybe?
Yeah, see, I'm a navigator fanatic. So I think the little verse cards, you know, the beginning with Christ packet, you know, that's one of the first things I want to get in his hands. See, so you do a little structure. You may sit down and go over a little how to have a quiet time of 7 minutes with God or something. But you do a little structure in here, but it's not heavy. But it's light. But you're beginning to build in here in this initial follow-up both of these. Some structure, but not too heavy. Let him come along. Okay, but then, as we get along in here, then also you establish, help him establish some patterns in his life, like the quiet time. Maybe a Bible reading program. And by the way, if you've ever seen the Daily Walk, the Navigator's Daily Walk? Well, that's one of my responsibilities here, getting that thing out, making sure it pays for itself. But we find that that is a fantastic ministry to people over the country. It's unbelievable what God is doing through that little booklet. And we're really excited about that. We have about 150,000 on the mailing list every month. And the letters that we get back in, now when I say 150,000, what I mean is that we keep it down to that because we've purged about nearly 200,000 off of it. Because people send names of their friends and their relatives and so on, and we don't know whether they want it or not. They may throw it in the trash can. So after a few months, we write them and ask them if they want to continue to receive it. If they don't, well, then we just drop them from it. Financially, we have to do that or we couldn't do it. But the testimonies of people, what it's doing to them, not the daily walk. See, it's not the daily walk, it's the Word of God. See, the daily walk helps them to get into the Bible. Then the Bible begins to change, God's Spirit begins to change their life through reading the Word of God. So that's what we want to do. We want to get them in the Bible as quick as possible. So we got to get a little structure in there. Maybe a simple reading program. Or like the daily walk. They have a little time there.
You make it feel accepted. I mean, they feel accepted in this little...
Well, especially accepted with you. Especially with you, see.
Good.
This is a brand new thing to them, basically. Now, we're talking about beginning follow-up. Now then, when we move over here in the disciple-making area, then we get into a lot more of the structured and the casual type. We're spending a lot more time with them. But you still have some of the fun and games. You don't ever want to quit that. You know, you don't want the person to think, hey, man, all this guy does is pray and read the Bible. You know, he's weird. You know, he doesn't really relate to life. So if he sees you out in where the real battle is in the world and so on, through some of these structured and casual and fun and games type, see, casual is when you're walking down the street together. And you see things that come up, or you try to figure out, well, boy, I wish I'd have faced that situation a little bit better. Or if he's a businessman, how he handles a certain business deal. And you're with him, you're together in that.
Should you, when you get that structured casual, is that when you should start taking him out and knocking on doors and stuff?
Could be. And boy, he wanted to get with it, you know, and he was just wild-eyed fanatic and wanting to tell everybody what went on, you know. So I said, well, what we do is why don't you just kind of go along with me and I'll witness to someone. You can kind of watch how I'm doing it and we'll do this for a few times together and then later on we'll kind of, you can do it and give your testimony and so on. He said, fine, that'd be good. So we were witnessing to this fella and I could see him out of peripheral vision here that he was chomping at the bits. Literally to get in. You know, he could hardly stand it not telling about this new joy that he found. Oh, he was just a few weeks old in the Lord. And so anyhow, so I started talking about how what is a fantastic life to have your sins forgiven and all that. And he could hardly stand it. He said, "You bet." He said, "Boy, it's the best blankety blank 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 life I've ever found." And I'll tell you, I tried not to show any surprise at all. You know, it just went right on. And of course, the other guy listening, he didn't know any different anyhow. So, but what we used to do then, after we would go to the snack bar and we'd kind of sit and kind of critique what went on. And I told him, I said, "Well, maybe you ought to think about kind of watching your profanity when you're talking about the Lord." He said, "Oh, did I say something wrong?" But it was so natural to him. But it was really kind of fun, because it's so abundant out of his heart, blankety blank, good life, man, you know, fun. But see, now you can notice that, seeing casual, man to man. See, we were together, so I found that out, and we could talk about it. Then he became aware that he was really cursing. He didn't even think it was wrong at that particular point. And so then he began to see, well, boy, I do need to clean up my language a little bit. That isn't very glorifying to the Lord, is it? So then in here, so you have your structure and your man-to-man decreases as casual and partnership increases. Well, what that means is you're not just spending time just setting, talking back and forth, but you're spending more of a lifetime together in what you're doing. There's a lot of, at the beginning, that you have to have quite a bit of structure in there. Okay, then the partnership increases as the individual develops with time. Over here, partnership is where you have fun and games, like I said, for a new purpose, for relaxation and just buddies. Okay, now is there any question about how this fits in these different places? You're accepted by each other in your own right, partnership in the gospel, and so on.
Transition.
What's that?
Can you make a clear distinction
on the transition? No, not really. You have to kind of feel that as you go along. And you have to also see, a lot of people are different. You know, some guys come on like gangbusters. Boy, they're ready to go. And if you're not careful, they'll run over you. I worked with a fellow like that one time. He was a young optometrist over in Orlando, Florida. And I mean, he was just gung-ho. The first time we ever met together, I told him to do a little Bible study that we had, you know, where it's question and answer. I said, "Now don't just be satisfied with the question and answer. Take those questions and write some questions on them and do a little cross-referencing and so on like that." I said, "And, you know, kind of just do a little extra. You know, don't just be satisfied to do it." Because most people, you have a hard time just trying to get them to answer the questions. Well, next week when I came back and we met together, he had 15 pages on that one Bible study. And that's the way he took off. And he never has stopped since. He's one of our regional directors now over in the southeast region. Yeah? But that's kind of, but then I've been with others that you had to pull teeth just to get them to memorize a verse of Scripture, you know.
Does that, what's the indications of their love? Like, I fell in the chair with these.
What's that?
What kind of indications of their love, I mean, for God? God, I know that it really loves God, you know, but it just, every time I talk to him about different stuff, he goes, "Let that not my thing."
Well, some people have a different adrenaline, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, some people are, you know, they just like to get up and go, and other people are very methodical and slow and take time. They may be around longer than the other. You know, this other guy may burn out. Okay, any other questions on this before we go on?
Bob, on this structure.
Uh-huh.
How much time should you expect of a guy that you're working with on a weekly basis? Like, for instance, maybe in a university setting, how much should you try to...
Boy, that's another thing that you just can't put it in a package and say, this is the way it'll be. This optometrist, see, I was living in O'Galley, Florida, and he was living in... we have to quit at 12:45? He was living in Orlando, so that's about 60 miles. And so when I came over and first started meeting with him, I said, "Now, I'll drive all the way over here, but it's going to cost you something too." And I said, "Now, if I come over, you're going to have to give me at least a half day." He said, "I'll give you a full day." So he shut up his business. And for an optometrist, we're talking about, you know, some pretty good money for one full day. He took off every Wednesday and gave me a full day of getting together. And we did a lot of things together.
Great.
Yeah. But that's the kind of a guy he was. But generally, it's not like that. That's the only one I've ever had.
Is it reasonable to ask him, after that you've got him doing an individual Bible study with you, and if they'll come to a Bible study where they're committed to bringing people to the Bible study, is it then reasonable to ask them to meet with you twice a week early in the morning to pray or something?
Well, see, even early in the morning, maybe that's not the best time for him. You know, if you're meeting with a guy that's got five kids, you know, maybe you have to adjust that to his family relationship.
Yeah, one question. John's question implied that university setting is different, and it is, but more often you have more time when you're in college than you will ever have again
yeah.
in your life. Because oftentimes...
You don't think so now, but...
Some of the people that we're working with down in Beaumont, one of the guys is a shift worker. You try to figure out a regular schedule of getting together with a shift worker, and it will drive you crazy.
Remember too, and I can't stress this enough, remember, we're servants to them. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we're telling them what they're going to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are times when you have to fit it into your own schedule, naturally. But remember, we're wanting to see that person develop. And so we're going to do everything we can to meet his needs. Okay?
Broach the question, just ask them if they would like to. Just
prayer. On a man-to-man basis, I don't know how you could do it less than an hour a week at all. I think that would be a minimum. Where that person actually committed, where you get together, you sit down, and you talk about the Bible. You talk about your relationship to the Lord, and where you're going, what you're doing. You know, that'd be a minimum, I would think. Okay? Now, we talked about we work with different types of people, right? And boy, I had to learn this the hard way a lot. Okay, now then, you've got the old sanguine. And you have to realize that these people, now I've got one of these handouts for you, like this, but I think we need, now this is not exactly right, you know. You can't fit a person into a mold here, but it's helpful. For instance, one time when I lived in Denver, we had the ministry there, I worked with a guy that was an engineer. Everything I'd talk to him about, he would challenge me on it. And he used to frustrate me so bad, are you an engineer? Any of you engineer students in here? Engineers are weird. You know, because they think. You know, they've got to have everything down. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah, and if something, they don't understand something, it bugs them. It drives them crazy. Now me, nothing bothers me, you know. I don't have that much brain power. So it doesn't bother me when things happen like that. But to certain types of people, this guy, everything, he had to challenge it. He had to fix it, and he had to put it into a certain way. And I always thought that he was bucking me. I thought that he was fighting me on everything that we did. Until finally, one of our guys came along and said, well, hey, you have to recognize that engineers are different. They think like that. They've got to have answers to everything, and then, boy, they'll be with you 100% after they're convinced, but they've got to be convinced. Well, I was a groceryman. I wasn't used to that type of being around that type of person. But when I realized that, then I began to relax. And then we had a great relationship together. After I finally got through my head, hey, this guy's different than I am. He thinks differently. Okay, here you've got a sanguine. Okay, who was a sanguine in the Bible?
Peter.
You bet. Open mouth and sure foot, right? He was like that. Boy, he was impetuous and so on. He was talkative, outgoing, enthusiastic. Boy, was he enthusiastic. Lord, man, I'll follow you to the end of the earth, right?
I don't know him.
Right. He's enthusiastic, personable, friendly. Everybody liked Peter. Everybody. Compassionate, carefree, and so on. That's the strengths. Some of the weaknesses are they're weak-willed, unstable, restless, undependable, egocentric, loud, exaggerates, fearful. Reminds you anybody you know? Huh? Sure. Might be us, huh? I know I identify with a lot of those. Okay, but the Holy Spirit, see, can take that person and make him in from the Peter with the mouth, foot in the mouth, to the Apostle Peter. Big difference, right? So, what's this guy's name that put out this temperaments? Lahaye? He calls it spirit-controlled temperaments. So what we're after is this, aren't we? We're wanting to get rid of these and come into here. But you have to remember that person is different. He thinks differently, all right? Then there's this kind. You ever around anybody like this?
Mm-hmm.
Melancholy. Boy, they're like this. Boy, when they're low, they're low. Right? Okay? So the weakness of a person like that, self-centered, moody, negative, theoretical, and so on. But looky here, the strengths he's got. Man, he's gifted, analytical, sensitive, perfectionist, idealistic, loyal. Okay, now that'd be the engineer type. That's you. You didn't know that, did you? Okay? Then you have this old boy over here, choleric. You know, hard nosed. Who does that remind you of in the Bible? The Apostle Paul. Man, he was a hard nosed. You know, he was out killing the Christians and so on. And boy, he preached hard doctrine, doesn't he? Huh? Okay? But the problem with a guy like that, he can be angry, cruel, self-sufficient, sarcastic, unemotional, domineering, proud, crafty. But look what happens to him, though, when that gets under control. So you see, you have both sides of the question of these people that you're working with. So remember, try to figure out, well, what kind of a guy am I working with? See, you may be this type, he may be this type. Or he may be this type and you're this type.
Just know which one you are,
too. Right. Yeah. Okay, the only perfect one was Jesus Christ, of course.
Yeah.
All of the temperaments. Then you have the phlegmatic, and so on. So all of them have their weaknesses and their strengths, right? That can really be helpful. Okay? Now then, I'd like to get through... I'm not going to get through some of this other stuff, but what I'd like to do is go through some of the handouts, just explain it a little bit to you. Now here's one that's very good. This just kind of helps you determine where a person is. Okay? Here's from birth. Here's his intake over here, and here's his output. You can kind of tell where he is by looking across here. For instance, a brand new Christian. In the Word, he has respect for the Bible and Jesus' Word. For prayer, he's thanked God for his salvation, but that's about all, you know. And over here, fellowship, he likes to be around Christians. But when you get up here to a mature one, his mind attitude is controlled by the Word. He considers prayer essential to his work. He lives an open, honest life, blameless, and so on. Fellowship, and over here in his ministry, his output. So that one is really helpful to you. Kind of tell where a person is, see? Huh?
That's great.
Very good. It's very helpful. Not only that, it'll help you where you are yourself.
Yeah.
That's a little convicting, though. Yeah, a little convicting. Here's a little sheet that might be helpful to you. These are the same things that we were talking about, see? Here's the little chart here in the ministry and so on. But then when you're working with someone, now you don't have to show this to the other person. You know, you don't go tell him where he is like this and say, here's where you are. Let him see your notebook. You know, kind of as, you know, use a little tact. You know what tact is, don't you? Tact is the ability to make one feel at home when you wish that he were. But anyhow, on this, what you do here is a plan for strengthening. See, if you have a plan, the person says, I aim at nothing, he generally hits it, doesn't he? But if you have a plan, you know where you're going with that person. This is helpful to know where you're going. It's also helpful for yourself. Whenever you point your finger out, you got three coming back, don't you? Always. Okay, so that'll be helpful there in determining a plan of action. Then this one here, a lot of people say, well, how in the world do I get a person motivated? You ever had that? Now, you can't do like they do at the stockyards there out in Oklahoma City where you got one of these little things that you stick somebody with. Psst, like that, you know? You've seen those. Well, we'd like to have some of those like that, wouldn't we? But also, I think the Lord would probably like to have them with us, too. Okay, here's some little guidelines to motivating people. And these are just very little helpful hints. So I've included one of those in there for you. Okay? Now then, time's out. We're down to the last one. How about that? Okay, now, remember this, in working with people, no matter what you're working with them in, a method of helping anybody in the basics or anything else, the first thing is tell them why. So you stimulate desire to do it, scripture memory or whatever you're doing. Tell them why they're doing it. A lot of times we're told to do stuff, but we don't know why. And I've seen in the NAV work, where we've been so enthusiastic getting people in scripture memory, Bible study, and so on. And then 5 years down the road, the person says, why am I doing this? And he quits. He quits because he never knew why he was doing it. He just did it because somebody told him to. Now, it helped him. But if you want it to be a lifelong thing, he needs to know why he's doing it, be convicted that he needs to do it from the Word of God. By the way, as you're working with people, They put you on a pedestal to begin with. Make sure you get off that pretty quick. And the reason I'm saying that is for your own benefit, is because if you don't, the Lord will get you off it, okay? Okay, show him how. Impression must be followed by expression. A lot of times somebody doesn't do what you're asking him to do or what you're working with him, and you think he's rebelling. It may be he doesn't know how to do it. I've seen this in Bible study a lot. We've had people in a Bible study, and they come, their Bible study's not even prepared. And you think, boy, he's just not down to business. But then you come back and find out he didn't even know how to do it, really. And he's embarrassed to tell you. So make sure that you show him how. Then help him get started, whatever it is. Help him get started doing it. Then keep him going. There may be some rough spots on the road. You know, he may be doing it for a while, and then he stops. Well, find out why. You know, it may be that he has hypoglycemia. He may just be too pooped to participate. You know, he may be tired. You never know why a person stops. Find out why, but keep him going. And you usually have to do that through checkup, right? Just make sure he's doing it. Okay? Reproduce it. Help him to be able to pass it on to someone else. What can he do that he can pass on? And then is he passing it on? Does he even have the vision to pass it on? Are you passing it on? See, the whole thing comes around back in a circle, doesn't it?